When coal is burned, it leaves behind ash, and that ash is quite toxic. For decades, it was haphazardly dumped into rivers and ponds. But within the last 10 years or so, there's been a push to clean up the way coal ash is disposed of. Georgia Power has vowed to close all of its dump ponds, but many feel just closing those ponds opens up a whole new slew of environmental issues. Joining me now is Chris Bowers, senior attorney for the Southern Environmental Law Center, and also Jen Hilburn, who's head riverkeeper for the Altamaha Riverkeeper Group. That's a grassroots organization dedicated to the protection of Georgia's biggest river. Thanks so much to both of you for joining me.
Good morning.
Thank you.
I want to say that we were not able to get somebody from Georgia Power, but we did get a statement from them. So first, let's hear from John Kraft, who's a media spokesperson for Georgia Power. He's talking about the company's plan to drain their ash ponds.
Georgia Power has safely managed and responsibly managed all of our ash ponds and power production facilities over the decades, and that will not change as we go through this closure process, this transition process with our ash ponds. We announced a year or so ago that we're going to permanently close all 29 of our ash ponds at 11 different coal-fired power plants across the state.
Now, Chris, you've even pointed to the McManus site, for example, that you feel Georgia Power handled well. What are you concerned about as this push to close these ponds goes forward?
Well, we are on the going well part. We do agree that Georgia Power is doing a lot of things correctly. So they're taking a lot of the sites, the ponds that are directly adjacent to the rivers and lakes, they're removing those and completely excavating that waste that's EPA has recognized, based on detailed studies, contains a lot of toxic pollutants such as arsenic and selenium, chromium, beryllium, things you do not want in your groundwater. You do not want seeping into your rivers and lakes. And so we agree that they are doing a good job with the 17 ponds and the 10 million tons of these open waste pits that are sitting right next to our rivers, lakes, and streams. What we have concerns about is that they're planning to leave in place the majority, about 80 million tons, in place right on these waterfront sites. That is no place for these toxic wastes. What you need to understand, and what your listeners, I think, need to understand, is that these toxic substances do not break down in the environment from something that's harmful into something that's benign or not harmful. And so any solution for storage needs to be forever, because these wastes, as long as they exist near our groundwater or rivers, they're always going to be a problem. They're going to present a problem.
All right. So then let me take this to you, Jen, and let me play you one more clip from a Georgia Power spokesperson, John Kraft, and he's talking about how they test for water quality.
We are conducting groundwater testing. We've put in wells around all of these ash ponds and continue to monitor. Even after they're closed, we'll continue to monitor groundwater, and we report those to the environmental agencies. We actually post them on our website, so all these testing results.
Jen, in your opinion, is Georgia Power planning to leave some of these sites that you think might, endanger the river?
Yeah, absolutely. So many of the sites, as Chris Bowers mentioned, will be left in place rather than excavated. And when we're talking about coal ash being left in place, we're talking about millions of tons of toxic coal ash mixed with water in an unlined facility. So it has the ability to just drain into our groundwater, and sometimes that groundwater bubbles back up to the surface water. So although Georgia Power is taking and excavating the ponds that are closest to the lakes, or closest to the rivers, oftentimes their intention is just to put that coal ash into another unlined pond. And in the Altamaha Basin, and that's Macon and Juliet and the coast, almost everywhere we've looked around these ponds, we have found leaks of toxic coal ash. And that includes people's drinking water wells.
So that sentiment was echoed by biologist Dennis Lemley. We spoke with him a while back about the dangers of coal ash. Here's what he said.
I've documented multiple times at multiple sites, along with many, many other researchers, that coal ash is a high hazard contaminant with respect to the health of fish and wildlife in the environment, and we have case after case after case to show that.
But Chris, many people, A, have never heard of coal ash, and B, assume that there are federal protections in place that are going to make sure nothing toxic gets into your water. Are they wrong about that?
Well, it took not only one, but two disasters in order for the EPA at the federal level to start taking a very, very close look. And afterward, it took several years for the final minimal federal protections to come into place in the form of regulations. And it's known as the CCR, or Coal Combustion Residuals Rule. And it finally seeks to address, at a minimal level, the three threats that these wastes pose. The first is fugitive dust wafting through the air, getting into people's air that they breathe. The second is slow seepage of percolating waste that seeps into the groundwater or seeps into a nearby open surface water. And the third is the catastrophic failure. Coal ash, if you look at it under a microscope, they're not little cubes that are a little bit more stable. They're actually little balls. And so it's inherently unstable. And when it's impacted by water, it can fail. So in 2008 in Tennessee...
Fail meaning break apart into its composite, highly dangerous chemicals.
That's right. And actually just physically release. And so in 2008 at TVA's Kingston facility, 300 acres just released when a containment structure that was designed to hold back this waste ruptured suddenly right before Christmas.
Okay, so let's, Jen, let me play you one more comment from biologist Dennis Lemley. We spoke to him earlier this year. He's talking about the ideal way to contain this ash.
Well, as far as the ultimate solution, it's to encapsulate it in concrete. Even though it's moved to a lined landfill site, there are still issues, environmental issues, the most basic of which, liners leak, and it's well known that they leak. And we have many sites at lined landfills that have documented leakage into groundwater.
So, Jen, what are you asking for here? Are you asking for this ideal solution to put the coal ash into concrete?
I think at this point we're still a little bit unsure whether or not this beneficial reuse, this putting it and combining it in concrete, is the correct solution. But what we do understand is, yes, maybe these liners leak, but they're supposed to be intact for 500 years. And right now we have these toxic heavy metals leaking into people's drinking water wells. So we need to have this.
So you have your group
excavated.
Sorry, your group, the Altamaha Riverkeeper group, has documented liners leaking and it making it into groundwater.
Our group, Altamaha Riverkeeper, has documented unlined ponds leaking into groundwater and drinking water. Right now, all 29 ponds across the state of Georgia are unlined. That means they have nothing to separate them from leaking through the soil and into the groundwater. So what we're looking for is a complete excavation of all 29 ponds and to have them placed in a lined and capped facility away from our waterways. If the long-term solution is to go ahead and put that coal ash into concrete or bind it in some way, it will be there in a lined and capped facility, not leaking, and they'll be able to reuse it at whatever time is best for the market.
Chris, what is, you're attorney for the Southern Environmental Law Center. What is the SELC asking for?
We want it to be in a modern, lined landfill. Where it does not belong is directly adjacent to our rivers and streams and lakes. And
unlined.
That's where they currently are, yes.
Do we have the laws in place to force that?
Well, as I mentioned earlier...
We'll get right to you, Jen.
As I mentioned earlier, there is a minimum federal rule now. Unfortunately, that runs the risk of falling, being eroded and weakened at the federal level.
Jen, you say no, we don't have the laws that we need.
To force a utility to excavate the ponds, to my knowledge, there is no federal, there is no state law. We do have many of our legislators looking now at how is the best way to remove and dispose of this. They've introduced legislation last year and will be introducing legislation again this year at the state level. But we do not have any law to require our utilities to excavate these ponds.
So, Chris, do we have any idea how many people, the number of Georgians who live somewhere in a sort of danger area?
No, I can't. Sitting here today, I can't give you a population figure. Unfortunately, a lot of this waste exists in sparse sparsely populated, more rural areas. And that goes into one of the things that we'd like to see strengthened in the laws is public notice and awareness. A lot of times, the public is not aware that they're living adjacent to some of these waste pits, and at a minimum, they should be aware, and so they can have a voice and speak up about their concerns.
And Jan, it makes logical sense that if some of this coal ash somehow makes it into groundwater, it could possibly end up being in a body of water that travels, right, for miles.
Oh, absolutely. And included in the dewatering process, when you're taking the water out of the pond, that will be treated and put directly into the water body that's next to the coal ash pond. So that has the ability to travel quite some distance.
Wait. When they are taking the water out of one of these ponds, they then dump that into the nearby water source?
Well, first they treat it. They go through a treatment
process,
and then they dump it into the lakes or rivers nearby, yeah.
Is the water, after it's treated, it's safe? Jen?
It is being tested for certain levels of heavy metal toxins, but there's no exceedance levels. So I'm unsure if I can answer that correctly, whether it's safe or not.
You think we don't know if it is safe?
I think it's pretty borderline. And no, we don't know for sure.
So when they were investigating the extent to which they should regulate this at the federal level,
yeah.
The EPA conducted very, very painstaking studies, hundreds of pages of scientific information. And what they concluded is that, a rule was necessary. Why? Because they documented sources of these waste streams that had traveled thousands of river miles downstream.
Thousands of miles.
That's correct. And that's from a study that was done by the EPA in order to recommend that more stringent requirements be imposed.
And what the SCLC is seeking legal remedies?
Well, there are other environmental groups at the federal level that have been that brought a suit in the D.C. Circuit in order to strengthen the federal rule. And then utility groups and energy companies have sued, saying it's too stringent. And so that is being played out in the courts currently.
That is Chris Bowers. He's senior attorney for the Southern Environmental Law Center, and also Jen Hilburn, head riverkeeper for the Altamaha River Group. It's a grassroots organization dedicated to the protection and restoration of Georgia's largest river. Chris and Jen, thank you both so much.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Celeste.
Just ahead, an Atlanta cellist composes music for the movies. First, though, is there a profile for someone likely to commit sexual assault or rape? This is on Second Thought.